Hello, my friends. I am the Reverend Nancy Reed McKee, the minister at the North Lake Unitarian Universalist Church in beautiful Kirkland, Washington. Welcome to our podcast. We hold services each Sunday morning at 10:30 Pacific time, and we host a hybrid service where most people join us in person, but you're also welcome to join us online via Zoom. We publish excerpts from our selected services as podcasts, such as this one. To learn more about us or to reach out and contact us, please visit our website at northlakeuu.org. That's NORTHLAKEUU.ORG. I hope you enjoy this podcast and I look forward to hearing from you. Blessings. 10 years ago, when Clark and I had our 30th wedding anniversary, we decided that as for our celebration, we were going to climb Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. Now, Kilimanjaro is a pretty damn hard hike, let me tell you. Its summit is at 19,300 feet. Anything above 15,000 feet is pretty tough, and that's higher than any peak in the continental United States. So not everyone makes it to the peak of Kilimanjaro, but the best success is for those who take their time and hike a little more slowly and get acclimatized. So we took 8 days to get acclimatized to this trip, going up and then going down, going higher and then going down again. And then on day 7, we finally arrived at 15,000 feet by about noon. We spent the rest of that day resting, eating, not much, you don't have an appetite at 15,000 feet, and we slept until 11 o'clock that night. And then we would wake up, and we looked up at the side of the summit we were going to, and we could see people's headlights as they were climbing to the peak of the summit in the dark. The plan is that you hike all night to arrive at sunset, and that way you help avoid the morning rains and the winds of the mountain. Jacobs, who was our guide, he points to the top where I can see a light, a beacon calling us to the summit. That's where we're going, he says, 4,000 feet above our heads. I'd love to tell you how glorious that hike was, but it was horrible. Every second was excruciating. Your feet feel like lead at that temperature. I had this raging headache that did not go away. I was nauseous. Everything felt terrible, and breathing was horrible. There's a saying that they say as you climb Kilimanjaro, it's pole pole. That's the Swahili meaning slowly, slowly, 1 foot step at a time, and that's truly how you start climbing the mountain. We hiked for hours and hours and hours, and at about 4:30 in the morning, I just had done. I was done with it. I told Jacobs I couldn't go any further. I couldn't get to the summit. I pointed to the light. I said, that is no closer now than when I began at 11 o'clock. Is that where you are headed, my friend? Because that's a star you're pointing to. The summit is just around the next corner. It's pretty important that we have an accurate vision of where we want to be going when we set our minds to do something, right? Stephen Covey, the guru of time management and author of many books, writes this: the power of vision is incredible. It's the ability to see beyond our present reality, to create, to invent what does not yet exist, to become what we are not yet. It gives us the capacity to live out of our imagination instead of our memory. It gives us the capacity to live out of our imagination instead of out of our memory. He goes on to point out that our vision of how our life can be or the lack of such a vision affects the choices we make and how we spend our time. Our personal vision has consequences. If we don't have a vision of our lives, of what we wish to be, then we make choices based only on what is in front of us. If our vision is limited, we react to what feels urgent and immediate. We react to our moods and to other people's expectations. If our vision is based on illusion, we make choices that are not based on our core values and our principles. If our vision is partial, if we focus only on part of it, if we only focus on our economic needs or our social needs, for example, and we ignore our mental or our spiritual needs, our creative imagination withers. If our vision is based on the social mirror, on what our friends, family, or the media script for us, we make choices based on others' expectations, and we don't identify or offer what is unique and valuable of ourselves, those things that only we contain. When we can identify a vision for what we want in this life, what we hope to achieve, or what we hope our legacy will be, it can become a powerful motivating factor. It helps us say yes to what is important, and it helps us to say no to what is of lesser importance. This can be incredibly liberating, right? Because it gives us permission to put aside the things that are actually distracting. This is true for our personal lives, and this is true for our church. We must have a vision of where we're going, or we can become distracted by activities, issues, and events that are important, but not necessarily part of the vision that we move toward. Northlake has a vision. We read this together every month, and it's posted on our website. This is our statement of what we dream of, what we aspire to create in this world. And it reads, to be a vibrant and welcoming community, feeding the human spirit, lighting a beacon for love and justice. There's the beacon we've been talking about so far this morning, lighting a beacon of love and justice. Love and justice. Over the past few weeks, you've heard both Reverend Kimberly and myself talk about love and how that must be the center of everything that we do. Today, I'm going to focus on justice and how the Northlake vision fits within the national UUA vision of creating justice. UUs have a long history of advocating for justice and freedom. In my opinion, my humble opinion, this began all the way back in the year 324 of the Common Era. 324, this is the year of the Council of Nicaea, when religious leaders gathered to debate and vote about the basic beliefs and tenets of Christianity. It was there that it was decided that God was a Trinity, made up of a Father, Son, and a Holy Spirit. And it was there that they asserted that Jesus was God. The Catholic Church was formed, and the standard creed of belief was established. Except for Arius, one of the scholars and leaders of the early faith. He insisted that Jesus was a man, perhaps a wonderful and special man, but not God. And he argued that it was poor theology to describe God as a Trinity instead of as a complex and holy other. Arius' dissension from the Nicene Creed was the birth of the Unitarian tradition, which has become known to some as the dissenting faith. This is the faith of those who challenge and question authority and orthodoxy, especially when it goes against what appears to be logical and correct. And that is what we are called to do when we advocate for justice. We are to challenge and question current practices and systems. 324 was the beginning. If we jump ahead just by a few thousand years and look at the history of the Unitarians and the Universalists in the United States, we can see how we have played key roles In all the times this country has undergone social upheaval and challenge, we have offered both resistance and transformation to this country. You use were leaders in the very beginning of this nation with the development of the systems of governance of the United States, and the Declaration of Independence was written and signed by Unitarians. We have influenced this nation through our prophetic voices, our parallel voices, and our institutional voice. An example of our prophetic voice can be found in Henry David Thoreau, one of the Transcendentalist Unitarian leaders who advocated for civil disobedience as a way to resist corruption in governance. He wrote books that you may have heard of, Walden and Civil Disobedience. He was jailed in 1846 for failing to pay taxes that supported the institution of slavery. And his actions and writings were major influences for Gandhi, for Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Tolstoy, to name a few. You prophetic voices have spoken against conventions of each era, things that were accepted in their times, things such as slavery, war, the disenfranchisement of women in the democratic process, immigration restrictions, and the over-militarization of the police, to name just a few. An example of our parallel voice can be found in Margaret Fuller, born in 1810, who was denied admission to the higher education institutions. So she formed her own education system for women, offering forums to discuss ethics, mythology, theology, and art. She created the meeting space that sparked the beginning of the women's movement. Over the years, UU parallel voices have advocated for alternatives to established structures, such as the mental health institutions, reproductive health clinics, prison systems, and government institutions. And UUs have offered institutional voices, working to establish power within government and economic structures in order to change politics and practices. Each year, at the UU General Assembly that Connie was talking about earlier, congregations across the nation vote to make statements of conscience and actions of witness, offering the weight of our entire institution on matters of justice. Throughout the years, UUs have been beacons for justice in the anti-slavery actions of the 1800s, the civil rights actions of the 1960s, and the Black Lives Matter and anti-racism actions currently galvanizing our nation. We have been part of all three iterations of the women's movements advocating for voting, equal rights, reproductive freedom, and choice. We have been leaders in the anti-war, anti-nuclear, peace, pacifism, and decolonization movements. We have been on the front lines advocating for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender rights, for marriage equality, for sexuality education, and in defense of gender and sexual expression. We have been leaders in the environmental movement, teaching how to reduce harm to our planet, advocating for conservation and restoration, and participating in national actions that call attention to our Earth. We have been active in defending human rights along the Mexican border in countries such as Haiti, Burma, and El Salvador, where democracy is threatened, and in this country, when human dignity and freedom is threatened. UUs have acted as beacons for justice always. And Northlake has as well. Northlake has a long history of working for justice related to the LGBTQIA+ issues and concerns. We were active in changing legislation, making marriage equality the law of this state. We've come together to combine our resources to address poverty in the local area. And as at the end of August, we have given $193,000 to organizations addressing homelessness, food scarcity, and economic disparity. We have built tiny houses in our parking lot participated in community meals, and have offered our space for emergency shelter. We have traveled across the country to show support at Standing Rock and Line 3, working to stop oil pipelines from polluting our waters and trespassing on the sovereign lands of the indigenous owners. We have shown support of the Lummi and the Duwamish peoples, paying rent for this land that we occupy. We are a beacon for justice, and we have done good things. So this morning I ask, what's next? As we move into a world that is rapidly changing, I believe we need to sharpen our vision a little. Last weekend, I was away with another UU minister on a retreat that reviewed what I had done with my life and what my hopes for my future might include. My vision for my future could be summed up when I said, I want to be part of healing the world. And my friend responded by asking, what might that look like? How are you going to measure success? And this resonates with Jacobs, my Kilimanjaro guide, who suggested that I would not reach the star, that beacon that I thought was guiding me, but success was measurable, just around the corner, actually. And this resonates with Stephen Covey, who states that we need a clear vision of what we want to be, and we need to let that guide us, or we can become distracted. This is true for Northlake. It's time to reimagine our vision in a way that guides us, that helps us discern where we want to go and what distracts us from that. I invite each of us to be part of this imagining. This year, the Board of Trustees is working to hone our vision in some ways, and they need to hear from you. Each of us is part of the vision. And as part of this work, as we reimagine who we can be together as a faithful community working to heal our world, I invite you, I urge you to come. Let us create this vision together. Blessed be. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Northlake Unitarian Universalist Church podcast. We hope that the words you heard today have uplifted your spirit and perhaps inspired you on your journey. Remember, our mission is to nurture your spirit and to be part of the work of healing our world. If you would like to stay connected or learn more about our community, please visit our website at northlakeuu.org. We would love to hear from you and continue the conversation. Thank you once again for being part of our podcast. Blessings to you as you journey onward.